Thank you. You guys practiced that. That was awesome. Wow. It's good to be back. I feel better now than I did like a couple hours ago. That was really weird, you know, and now it's like, okay, I'm back here, you know, and I was going to get you all presents at the airport, but I didn't know, you know, I got confused and I don't know what you like. So just wanted to say hi. And probably some people here that I've never met. I hope, you know, you came to church this summer and my name's Steve and I work here, and I got to take this sabbatical, and you're going, hey, I never got to take a sabbatical, you know, or maybe you asked your boss for a sabbatical, and they said no, but I, you know, I've only had one, 35 years, that's probably my only one, so it was really good. I don't know what you're supposed to do, so we just did stuff. To Darlene and I, relaxing is like traveling, and going places we'd never been before, and seeing stuff like that, so we were gone a lot. Plus, it was 105 here, so we took it as an opportunity to get cooler. And so the first half of the summer was in Great Britain, and the second half was in Colorado. And then there was like a middle half, just for a second, that my niece got married in on the 4th of July. She planned it like 2 years ago in Amish country, Pennsylvania. So we went there for a few days, and man, I just, you know, I like to take pictures, you know, so I probably took 5,000 pictures, you know, that's my hobby is photography. I like this graphic because it's true. If you know, back in the day, you know, you only had 12 pictures in your camera and half of them turned out pretty good because you were really careful. And then 36 pictures, you know, six of them were still good. And then now you can take thousands of pictures and there's still the same six that are pretty good. So that's what I like to do. I think I counted up. I think I slept in 26 different beds this summer. That's kind of crazy, right? And some of them were weird, but we had fun. And I'll tell you one story. Tim, I like photography, and you know, if you do photography, you need to be there when the sun rises and the sun sets. Those are called the golden hours, right? So you want to be there at those prime times. And so we were in Great Britain, and I finally, for weeks and weeks, well, first of all, it's hard to be there at those times because the sun comes up at 4 and goes down at 11 where we were. You know, it's really high up there. And so plus it was cloudy, and so I couldn't find, you know, I'd go, oh, wouldn't this be a great, but it'd be cloudy and sunset. So finally, we are on the Cliffs of Moher. Here's the picture of it. And I was out there on this part that was kind of illegal, but there was some other people there too, and German guy and French person. And so we're standing out on this thing. It's 700 feet straight down to the ocean, and I'm going, it's not cloudy, and it's like 9:30 or 10 at night, and it's another 45 minutes. It's going to be perfect. This is like the one day. This is like my dream as a photographer person. You're standing there. You've got a great subject, and the light's going to come down, and out of nowhere. Do you ever get these, like, these rogue texts? You know, because you're somewhere, you're hiking through the woods, and there shouldn't be any coverage, but out of nowhere, I get this text. I open my phone, and it says, it's Darlene, and she's down in the parking lot, like, a quarter mile away, and it says, I've got to go to the bathroom really bad. And I'm like, so now I'm conflicted because I'm like, well, first of all, she doesn't know for sure that I got this, right? There's no reason to believe that she knows that I got this. And so I thought, I don't really have to respond. There's no reason. And then I did. I tried, sent her back. I said, can you not go behind a tree or something like that? Real sensitive, and then she says, no, I think it's serious, and I'm like, oh, man, so I've got, you know, what do I do in a situation like that? It's a hypothetical, but it's real, and so then, you know, then she texts me, I think I can hold on for a little bit more. I'm going, great, because I need 45 more minutes, and we're doing this. And I said, can't you drive? You know, you've got the key. So, no, it's left hand, and it's on the wrong side of the road, and I'll have a wreck, you know. And I'm just like, oh, so I learned about marriage during the sabbatical, and marriage is a lot about compromise. So I left a little early, and she held on, and it all turned out fine. But that was what. And now we got to see our grandbaby. This is little Emily, and yeah, I just threw that in there because you can't lose with a picture of a grandbaby, right? I just found it on the internet, but no, that's really her. She's 9 months, and the nice thing was on the sabbatical, our are some of you have a compound, you know, you all live so close together with your extended family. Ours are like D.C. and Memphis and Colorado. It takes a lot of effort to actually see our kids. And so we actually got to see each of our kids individually. And now we got another grandbaby on the way coming in October. So that was nice. And then we all got together at the end of the summer like we do at this friend's cabin. So I thought I would tell you three stories and one scripture reference that hopefully will kind of tie the whole thing together, because when I think back on the summer, some of the experiences that I had, I mean, some was just relaxing and fun and did a lot of reading, actually read a book on preaching. You might be glad to hear that. I'm not quite done with it, but so don't expect immediate results, but hopefully that'll be good. Read The Boys in the Boat. That was my favorite book. That was awesome. And so I'm going to tell you three stories, one scripture reference, because to me the whole thing is still follow Jesus, make disciples, right? It was a weird summer. Some of you had a good summer. Some of you had a bad one. I just talked to somebody this morning. It's like they had a really bad summer. And some of you had a great summer. Some of you had like a regular summer. We were at a pub in Ireland, which you could have found us there most days. But we were there, and this guy comes up and says, yeah, weird day, huh? And we said, what? Well, because there was all this terrorism, and all these British people got killed in Northern Africa. And that was horrible. And then it was the same day that the Supreme Court here redefined marriage. And so that was strange. And then, you know, had transgender issues all summer. And so it's like, I think for a lot of us, it was like, well, this is weird. What? Things are not the way they used to be when I was growing up, right? And we'll talk more about that later. But so what do we do, you know? And Jesus didn't say, well, follow me and make disciples until it gets really weird, and then we're going to do something else. He just said, follow me, make disciples until I come back. And things are going to be strange, and things are going to feel like they're coming apart. So that's what I want you to do, is follow me and make disciples. So how do you follow Jesus? Well, you begin by receiving his gift, which if you've never done, you should do. You know, if you're at that point in your life where you realize I need a savior, his gift is forgiveness, and it's a relationship. And all you have to do is say, I need a savior. My life is not working. I can't figure things out. I don't have answers to all the questions. But Jesus, I believe you really exist, and you really came, and you really died for me, and you rose again, and you're offering me this free gift, and I'm going to take it. And that's how you start. And then you just start talking to him and telling him how you feel and what's going on, and you read about him, and you study the scriptures, and you learn about him, and you follow his advice, and you begin to follow. And on the good days, you rejoice knowing he's there with you, and on the tough days, you let him comfort and encourage you, and his spirit starts leading you around. And you slowly start becoming a little bit more like him over time, it takes a long time, and then you start to smell. And what happens is you start to smell kind of like Jesus. You know, in Acts 4, they arrested the apostles, which was like every day they'd arrest some more apostles. And it says they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They recognized that these apostles kind of reminded them of Jesus. They kind of smelled like him. And I'll tell you why in a second. I'm using that metaphor. But by the way, there's good smells and there's bad smells, right? You guys smell great. I'm just saying that by faith. I'm not really out there. You know, sometimes you come in, you're sweaty, you've been hiking or biking or running or whatever. You're kind of used to it, but everybody else goes, yeah, you smell. There was this plant, this flower in Denver. Did you read about it? And the botanical gardens in the last week. And it's like sitting around for 15 years, and then it blooms, and it only lasts like one day or maybe 2 days. This thing, it's called the corpse flower because it stinks really bad. It smells terrible. They said it smells like a chicken carcass that's put in like a metal garbage can and left out in the sun for days and days and days. That's how it smells. And so people have been filing through the Denver Botanical Gardens waiting for this thing to bloom and stink. And then some of the people were actually, when it happened, they were complaining that it didn't smell bad enough because there was too much air conditioning. So they took him outside to a vent and said, hey, listen, just smell that, you know, and it's weird. So it happened last week. It, you know, it rose up and died and it stinks. So that's a bad smell. But then there's good smells, right? There's good smells and bad smells. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, my favorite verses, I remember reading this in college. He looked at his life and he said, you know, I've been traveling around and it's like I'm in this invisible parade. On the outside, it looks pathetic and like I'm just this guy. But really, it's like this giant victory parade. Every time there would be a major Roman victory, the general would be given a parade in Rome, which they'd pull out all the stops, and it was a festival for days, and they called it a triumphal procession. And Paul says, you know, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. We're being led along, we're following Christ, and we're in this invisible parade, and through us, he is spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. You don't even know when it's happening. He says you start following Jesus, and after a while, you kind of smell like him. And so that, it's like Pigpen, you know, in the Peanuts comic strip. He's just kind of trailing this dust behind him and doesn't even know it's happening. And he says, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You'd smell that victory parade, and to some people, that's like, that's an awesome smell. And to other people that had gotten conquered, it's like, no, that's not a good smell. So it's the same smell. And what happens is, Paul says, it surfaces, or it brings out what's happening in somebody's heart, how they're relating to God. If somebody's angry at God, pushing him away, you know, trying to do everything opposite of him, that smell isn't so good. Someone's like searching for hope and praying that there is a God, that smell is everything they always wanted. To one, a fragrance from death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. So as we follow Jesus and he is transforming us and we are becoming slowly more like him and we are, it's not like when you're at your best, this happens. This just happens. The Holy Spirit does it. It just happens. It just happens and you don't know it. So that's my Bible verse for the day. And I think that if you think about Jesus' life, that's kind of the way it was, right? He would walk through a village or he would walk through town or Jerusalem or the countryside, and that's how people would react. Some people couldn't stand it, and they got mad at him and rejected him or questioned him, and others were like, oh my gosh, this is what I've always been waiting for. Same smell, two reactions. So the first story I have really started before my sabbatical. It was right at the end of May because my mom got sick. She had double pneumonia. She's 92. And she has been great up until then. And then she got double pneumonia, went into the hospital, almost died. This doctor's calling me on the phone going, do you want us to do this procedure? And my sister and I said, yes, it's something to fix a leaky valve in her heart. And we said, yes, we want the procedure. He didn't say, if I don't do it, she's going to die. You know, it was that cryptic language. And we went ahead and said, yes. I said, you know, how many of these have you done? They always say 4,000, you know. All doctors say 4,000. He goes, I've done 8 of these. Okay, you seem to know what you're doing. So he had done it and it worked, and she's better. She's great, you know. She sounds the same and everything. So I went out there 3 times last spring, you know, March, April, May. And so the last time I go out, somehow my wife, the queen of all travel, somehow got me into first class, I think, through points or something like that. So I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh, this is great. You know, I got this 3 hours. I've got a book. I'm sitting there. I open the book, and the guy next to me just says, hi. His name is Gary. He wants to talk. He's a talker. He's a talker. Nothing's going to stop Gary. I mean, I could put a bag over my head. I could go into the restroom. He's just going to talk to me. He doesn't care. And I open the book, and I'm just like, hey, I'm a pastor. I want to read my own book. And So he goes, so what do you think God looks like? I thought this would be a great title for the series on John, right? Did I tell you we're going to do John next week? Did I forget that? We're starting John next week, okay? We're going till Easter. All right, so get ready. Start reading John now. Starting next week, we're going to look at the Gospel of John. Maybe that's a good title. What does God look like? He said, what does God look like? I said, well, interesting you should ask. I think he looks just like Jesus. He goes, yeah, I used to when I was growing up. Not now. My family was Christians, and I don't know, I just have a lot of questions. So we talked for 3 hours, and I swear every question, the series that you guys had this summer, the Q&A that we thought was a hypothetical, do people ask these questions? He asked me every single one. Gary wanted to know about everything you guys studied all summer. Real smart guy. He's the kind of guy that he didn't have time for college because he was starting businesses and stuff and going all over the world and businesses get in the way of his travel. And he's just living this crazy life and he's dating some girl in, I forget, somewhere Ukraine or something like that. And then he's got two daughters and he loves them. And he said, one night I was putting one of my daughters to bed, and when she was really little, and she turned to me and said, Dad, I don't think I believe in God. And so he goes, well, he thought about it, and he says, well, I guess I don't either. That was kind of it. He'd grown up with it, but he hadn't really owned his faith, and so now he's got all these questions, but his questions are kind of like a series of defense mechanisms between him and God. We had a great discussion. I thought this guy was awesome, and he wanted to be a great dad, and he loves people, and he wants people to be good. He's not sure where all that comes from, but he's got enough questions that now he just feels like he can push God away because he's kind of like Billy Crystal. You know, Billy Crystal said, you know, God's done some weird things, and when I get to heaven, God's going to have a lot to answer for. People think that way. I think God's thinking the other way around, but people are thinking, you have a lot to answer for, God, and that's what this guy's kind of like. He's like, well, I've created all these questions, kind of like Job's friends, you know, and so I have enough. It's like a smoke screen. God can't get through it. And we talked, and we talked about science, and talked about the Bible, and talked about all these things, and at the end of it, you know, we shook hands, we're emailing back and forth now, and I want to know where all this ends up with him. But it just got me started thinking. You know, I guess there was enough of the fragrance of Christ that it sparked his interest, and so we had this conversation. So who knows what's going to happen to Gary, but that's how my sabbatical started even beforehand. People really, and you know what I'd suggest you do? I don't know if I'll ever see this guy again. I would encourage you guys, all of us here, tomorrow to start a conversation. What better way to study the Gospel of John together than to be in a conversation with somebody who's got some of these questions? The point is not just to, you know, to have the perfect answers, but be in a conversation with somebody all fall for the next several months. Maybe it's somebody that you get your dry cleaning from, or you work with, or you go to the same restaurant, or you talk to somebody else. Just ask them what they think God looks like and see where it goes. Look at the second story. The first week of my sabbatical was the end of this study program I've been doing. It's called Renovare, and it's funny because it's in Great Britain. And I thought I was going to find all these beautiful places to go and take pictures. Well, the place we went, I didn't even pick for this retreat. And it was like the most amazing place I think I saw all summer. It's on the southwest coast of England in a place called Devon. And this is what it looks like. I mean, it's ridiculous. A lot of people go there for hiking. It's in this place called the Exmoor National Park. It's ridiculous. It's on the edge of the ocean, and it's in this big castle. If you've ever been to Glenarry Castle in Colorado Springs, the Navigators, they're built about the same time, you know? And so it's an abbey. It's used to be, and now it's just this big retreat center. And, you know, retreat centers, sometimes Christian retreat centers are like kind of uptight, you know? Like, we're just Christians. We're just going to be uptight. And they're not like that at all. Because they were like, hey, we're here for Christians. You come in here. You have a wonderful meal. You hike around. You just enjoy the beauty. But we're not just for Christians, because people come there for all different reasons, and they want to hike and they want to walk around. And so, you know, you'd be sitting at a table with your group, and then another group over here is a bunch of hikers that have been there for a couple of days. And these 80 people that work there, they all have this same idea that we want to follow Jesus and make disciples, which is actually what Renovare is all about, the study program I was in. It's basically reading books about following Jesus and making disciples. Here's a couple of our cohort members. About half the group is from Great Britain. Half of them are from the United States. Half of them are somewhere else. Add that up. These are some great teachers. Gary Moon on the right and Trevor Hudson on the left from South Africa. James Brian Smith, you might have read his book, Good and Beautiful God. He was one of our teachers. Just had a great time and baptized one of the gang. This is Jessica. We call her our mascot. She's full of life. She's about 28. She got baptized in the freezing ocean waters there. And then here's a picture of our group at the end. It's just it's an amazingly beautiful place. But what really struck me, despite the teaching and the camaraderie and the fellowship and all of that, was this one little story that the guy told, named David runs the place. He's the kind of the headmaster, whatever it is. And he said, well, you know, let me tell you what happens here at Lee Abbey. He says, Christians come here, non-Christians come here. We try to portray Jesus. We live authentically. And he said, but there sometimes churches, like let's say in London, will come out here because it's just a few hours across the whole country, you know. And so this one church in London a year or so ago, by the way, they're so creative at this place. They said they turned the whole, at Christmas, they turned the whole castle into Narnia. And there's this part of Narnia where there's this frozen forest, you know, with all the snow. They did that inside. Like the whole inside is like a frozen forest, you know. So they're pretty creative people. But he said this one church in London wanted to come out and just rent out the whole place for the weekend. A lot of churches do that. But they didn't have enough people for all the spots. They said, what are we going to do? So they went out into the neighborhood around the church to a lot of the people that they'd gotten to know, a lot of the poor people that lived around there. And they said, look, how about what would you think about like a free holiday? How'd you like to come out? People that had never been outside of these little streets of London. And how about you come with us? No strings attached. We'll get you there. We've got some buses. And then all the meals are taken care of, and it's great food, and then you can wander around, and it's beautiful, and you can just relax, and people are going like, and then what do we have to do? Nothing. It's not religious. You just enjoy yourself. It's a holiday. And they said, what's it called? Well, it's not, it's free. We already paid for it. So I don't know how many people they brought with them, this church, maybe 100 people, something like that. And they just enjoyed the week. And just enjoyed the food and just enjoyed the beauty of it and walking around. And then the last night, this guy said, tomorrow morning and at sunrise, Christians do stuff like this sometime. We're going to go up on this hill and there's these three crosses we've got up there. And we're going to go up there and have communion and sing some songs. And if you want to come, everybody's invited. You don't have to come, but, you know, because some of them hadn't been doing things with the group. But they said, if you want to come up there at sunrise, that we're going to hike up there and do that. It's right behind the castle. And so he said he was surprised because, like, almost everybody came. And they're up on sunrise, you know, and they're looking out over the ocean, and they're worshiping, and these people are just kind of hanging out with them. And then he says, okay, when they were done, he says, we're going to go down to the beach, which you can see back there, it's this rocky beach. He said, there's a few of our people want to get baptized, which is a way to show publicly that they're following Jesus. And so they go down there, and he's getting ready to baptize. And he says, by the way, if anybody else wants to do this, you can. And so somebody came out of the crowd, one of the people that had been invited, and just said, yeah, I'd like to follow Jesus. And can I get baptized too? And then, you know, like a couple more did. And then like 10 did. And then like 15 did. And like 20 people from this little village, you know, or this little part of London that they had brought with them, just because of the love and the grace and the gift and the beauty of it all. It doesn't. And I thought, you know, I just listened to that story and I just was overcome. I thought, doesn't get any better. That's the way we should be, right? Openly following Jesus and making disciples and letting the Spirit work. And what if Crossroads was like that? What if we were like that? And I think a lot of times we are, that we get together and we meet together and we study the scriptures and we worship. But if we're always looking to include maybe the person we think that they'll never want to go do this or whatever, but maybe just ask. You know, would that be an awesome community to be part of, that every once in a while you just say, hey, does anybody else want to follow Jesus? So that was the second story, and that was the first week. And then the last story comes from our very, very last week, which I said we got to spend time with our kids, but every year we go to this cabin. And we've been doing this for, 20 years. And we keep thinking, well, maybe we should have our own cabin. And then we go, why? Because this guy built it and we just rent it from him. He's a good friend of ours and he knows how to build stuff. And so we go out into Buena Vista, Colorado. And in the middle of the cabin is this big round table. And so we always are there. And we end it every last night, the last night of the trip. Everybody goes around and says how they're doing. It always takes forever, and we don't care, and there's always tears, but we've been doing it for so long. Now we're adding people, you know, we're adding a son-in-law, and then another son-in-law, and then a baby, and there's going to be another baby. It just keeps growing, and we have to kind of figure out who we are, but we keep praying, and now you can see, this is like your family, you see answers to prayer, and one particular thing was pretty astonishing this time. Because, you know, again, we start off slow and we're just weeping by the end because it's the safe place to tell people what's going on. And I asked my son's permission to tell this because my girls, they always kind of knew where they were spiritually. They just kind of fit right in and they just knew. And David's had a rough life. He's had some ups and downs and he's got some stories and he didn't know where he was. And the last few years we're at the table and he's like, I'm lost. I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't know what to do. So we pray. We just pray. So what happened? A year ago, somebody in this church came up to my son and said, hey, how about, would you like to do a Bible study, David? Just two of us. He knew this guy. He just said, yeah. So they started doing this Bible study. And then my son was living with us at the time, so he decided to move back to Colorado, take some classes. So he moves back. But that kind of got things started. Now, you know, if you look at your kids, you cannot create life, right? You can't create spiritual life in your kids. You can do all the right things. You can do the things that lead up to it, right? But you can't make it happen. Just some friend, somebody you love, you can't make spiritual life happen. But you can pray for it and you can hope for it and you don't know what's going to happen. So this friend here starts a Bible study with my son. And then in January, my son moves back to Colorado and there's this guy named George, who's older than me, so he's really old, and he lived in Denver. And for 15 years, he'd had a Bible study with his friends, and they'd smoke cigars and study the Bible and talk about Jesus. And then he left. He had to move from Denver to Colorado Springs, and he thought, I'll never have something like this again in my whole life. So this guy, George, moves to Colorado Springs. He's in church one day, and this kid that I know that's a pastor goes up and says, hey, there's some guys that want to have a Bible study. Would you be open to leading it, George? This is why I believe in discipleship. This is why I believe in men's groups. This is why we're having breakfast this coming Saturday, right, guys? Even if you don't know if you want to do it, just show up this Saturday, 8 o'clock. And so what happens is my son gets in this Bible study with this guy who never thought he'd lead one again. And so now there's all these kids that we watch grow up. They're like 28. All David's friends that were in high school, and they're all messed up. And now they're like what's real. And one of them's a Christian, another one's a Christian. And David loves this thing. And he calls me usually before it starts or sometime when it's over. Hey, it's Thursday night. I'm going to the Bible study, you know. And he loves it. And then this friend, Bo, comes up to him a couple months later and goes, I don't know what I believe. I've been looking into Eastern religions. I don't think that's it. What about Jesus? And David goes, well, I'm following Jesus. Now, why don't you come to this thing? So now Bo's following Jesus. So then, and then David's got this other friend that he lives with, and he's starting to ask questions. And the kingdom of God, see, is alive. And just when we think, you know, everything's falling apart, it's like, follow Jesus, make disciples. It's so simple. That's what people do. And this George guy, Darlene met him. I didn't even get to meet him yet. He's leading this group of guys, you know, and they smoke cigars and they talk about Jesus and whatever order that is. And they just, it's so authentic and they love it, you know. And that's the answer to prayer. So we're at this round table at the cabin and we're going around and my son is telling, he says, well, I've had a pretty good year. And he tells this whole story of how he's come alive spiritually. And there's more to it, but I can't tell the whole thing, you know. But he's coming alive. And he's got, it's like for the first time, he's talking about Jesus as if he's in a relationship with him and he knows him and it's his own. Now, that means a lot to us. And if it was you, if that's was happening with you, that's what it would feel like. So Paul says, we go through this life and we just think we're doing this stuff. And then there's this fragrance of Jesus as we follow him. And to some people, it's like really negative because they're mad at God or whatever. That's repulsive to them. Or others, it's like, I've always wanted this. And so when we follow him and make disciples, it's so simple. That's what it's all about. That's what we're all about. That's what our church is all about. It's really not that complicated, but the kingdom of God, when you see it fleshed out and you see the Garys who have the questions and then you see the Lee Abbeys that are just loving people and you see the Spirit work and answer prayer, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? Well, let's pray. Jesus, we long for meaning and purpose and a life that is connected to something bigger than ourselves. And we proclaim that your kingdom exists. Some people can't see it or it makes them upset, and others are longing to be in it. Would you help us to follow you? Because we can't do it on our own. We desire to follow you, to be like you, to have you change our lives and transform us and help us to love one another because that's what you told us to do. Help us to reach out beyond our comfort zone to those in this community that really, really, really need hope. We thank you for your kingdom and its reality in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.